Hi, this is Meredith Eisenberg with Solo Biz Hacks, and today we are going to talk about what to post on Facebook. Now, normally these webinars are for our members only, but this is one that we're giving away today for free as a sample, so you can test out Solo Biz Hacks and see that for only $7 a month, getting this webinar plus three additional PDF hacks is a really good deal. So if you would like to purchase Solo Biz Hacks, all you need to do is go to our page, solobizhacker.com. All right. Hello, everybody. This is Meredith Eisenberg.
And this is Jasper Blake.
And welcome to our monthly audio Solo Biz Hack. And so once a month, we are bringing you something a little longer and something a little bit more meaty.
Yeah.
For your attention. And so today we are going to talk about posting on Facebook.
Yep, and that's a big minefield for a lot of people.
Well, it is because it used to be that people would sit and figure out how to make Facebook posts, how to trick the system a little bit. Like people used to trick Google's system by using certain words and trying to make the posts really appealing to Facebook's algorithms. But actually, that kind of doesn't work anymore. And without boosting your post or taking out ads, a very limited number of people are going to see any posts that you just post on your page.
Right. But you do see a lot of posts that get a lot of good engagement and good comments and good shares and all that.
So, and that's the secret. The secret is learning how to create posts that get shared.
Yeah. So because
the more a post is shared, the bigger an audience it will get, whether or not you spend money or not. Although our first tip is to go ahead and spend money.
Right.
I mean, and I know that sounds really weird. You're like, but you're telling me that we can share and not spend as much money on Facebook. But what, you don't have to spend a lot.
Right.
I mean, we had really good success. We did a video series and we posted on Facebook, and I think it was like $2 or $3 a day we were putting into it. It wasn't very much money, but the amount of people who saw the videos went from like 100 to like 800.
Right, yeah.
By investing that little teeny tiny bit of money. So it can be pretty micro what you invest, and you can get a lot of results from that, especially if you're boosting for engagement as opposed to boosting for conversion.
Right. So, just to be clear, we are talking about boosted posts rather than Facebook ads.
Well, either way, but boost is kind of easier for people just starting out.
Right.
And so you want to take your very best performing posts and just click the boost buttons. And then over time, you want to take time to check your posts in Facebook Insights. That's where you'll not only get an overview of all of your posts and how well they stack up against each other, but how many likes and shares they've received too in a graphic format. And then you also can figure out like who is engaging, because then when you're ready to do ads, you can create a custom audience for your ads based on the people who are engaging on your posts. So Facebook advertising is a must for maximum lead generation, and it's the best way to get your content to the right people organically to make sure that you're posting the content that people love to share.
Yeah, and that's something that we're going to talk about in how to actually get people to share.
All right, so then the next thing is you actually have to be posting updates on your page.
Yeah.
I know that seems as really...
like a no-brainer.
You know, obvious that people are afraid to post business updates on their Facebook page because they think that Facebook's going to come along and zap them. And yes, okay, so Facebook is doing ads in order to make money. So, of course, but a lot of times if you see that little sponsored on the ad, you don't pay much attention to it anyway because you know that it's an ad. So you need to strike a balance, and the people who have followed your page are following it because they like your business.
Right.
Or they like you, and they're interested in what you're up to. And so share what's going on with your business. And that's entirely possible without being spammy. I mean, it doesn't have to always be opt into this.
Yeah.
It can be about what you're doing in your business. You know, we're at New Mexico Lean Startups today, and we're talking about our business. And here are some pictures. Pictures are awesome.
Yeah. And I guess it also just depends on what kind of business you're doing. Because, I mean, with you know, we talk about a lot of creatives, whether you know, writers, artists, musicians, that kind of thing. And the big factor in promoting themselves in that kind of business is they're actually promoting themselves as the artist, right, not what they produce. So in that context, you can post, you know, anything that is really about you and your life and that informs people, gets people interested in wanting to know more about what you do.
Right. So then the next thing is what we like to call newsjacking. Yeah. So basically dovetailing and tailgating on hot topics. You know, Facebook pages are public. So if you talk about topics that are currently trending like wildfire, your chances of having the post appear to more people increase. But you need to keep it relevant. Like you can't go off like, you know, you're a knitting blog, and then all of a sudden you go off and have this big political discussion that has nothing to do with knitting.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. It has to be relevant to your brand and what you're up to. But if you're a coach, let's say, you could post about Donald Trump, and you could post about The Apprentice and how he had really good advisors around him, and you need to create that same board of advisors in your business. That's a legitimate post about Donald Trump and about coaching without getting into Donald Trump at all. But, you know, that's...
Well, you had a classic example. Was it the Leonard Nimoy post?
Yes, yeah. Leonard Nimoy passed away, and he had some really good quotes that were really relevant to Time Traders Club. At that point, it was called Passion Entrepreneurs Network. And so we posted it, and we got like 900 views and 300 shares. And so we really took advantage of Leonard Nimoy's death, but really his new spike in order to share his thoughts with more people and share more people to our
page. And it was more about the quote than his death. I mean, that's right. One of the things about newsjacking is you've got to be really careful about what you newsjack, because if you look exploitative, then that's going to do you more harm than good.
Well, and the other thing is, okay, so it's a trending topic. So a lot of people are talking about that topic. Yeah. How do you get your voice heard without being drowned out with everybody else? And some ways to do that are to include a powerful graphic, to use popular, unique, specific keywords, and to include a call to action at the end, or really ask people to share. All right, so the next thing that you can do is really recycle your posts, amplify them. So when you're writing a post for Facebook, customize it and share it on other platforms too.
Right.
Now, keep in mind that different people are on different platforms for different reasons, and there's sort of a tone and a rhythm to what's being shared. So you want to customize it a little bit to fit the right mode. But here are some ideas. One is if your post can be broken down into three or four points, you can share it on SlideShare. And so you can use your keywords. And SlideShare is one of those things that I don't think people go hang out on SlideShare looking for slides to view, but it does seem to really improve the visibility of posts, because it also it makes it really easy to post it on LinkedIn.
Yeah, yeah, I see a lot of SlideShares on LinkedIn.
Pinterest, if it's at all visual, make sure that you pin it to Pinterest. Twitter, if you've created a powerful hashtag and have at least one lead generation keyword, repurpose your post in short form on Twitter. But make sure that you have it, you're not bumping up against 140 characters. Mm. Keep it down to like 120 so that there's some room for like retweet.
Right.
And response and people, you know, saying who you are. LinkedIn is where people go for serious networking, checking out profiles and information. And since the addition of the LinkedIn Pulse on mobile, you can get your post power doubled by creating for Facebook and LinkedIn together.
Right.
And, of course, Facebook. You know, the most popular posts are actually links about lifestyle hacks, celebrities, friendship, and parenting. So if you're a life coach or a health coach, this is excellent news for you. If you're a marketer, you just need to be really creative.
Right, yeah.
So if you create a post and adapt versions instantly for your audience's key networks, it's not that much extra work. And so you're writing once and you're getting a lot of use out of it with just a little bit of tweaking.
Yep, and that's always good. You know, if you can use the same content in multiple places, you're saving yourself a huge amount of effort.
Okay, so now we come to the hint that I need to hear.
Right.
Because I'm terrible about this. I am like stream of consciousness into Facebook. I don't even think. I just go, post.
Yeah.
And then I find there's a typo. And thank goodness that Facebook has edit. But how much better would it be if I actually wrote the post out, went away for a while, came back, checked it out, made sure it was good, all of that. I mean, because people are only seeing you on Facebook. And right. So if you have a lot of misspelled or missing words, they think you're an idiot, even though you're not. Well, maybe I am, but you know, just sort of
especially if you put yourself out as a copywriter, then.
Exactly. Yeah. And so here are some just really quick hints for planning your posts. The first thing you need to do is really decide what your main point is. And if you have more than one point, split them into separate posts.
Right.
And we've all seen this, you know, the people who basically write blog posts on Facebook. There's a great way to do that. It's called Facebook Notes.
Yeah.
And we're not really getting into that here, but I think that will be a hack in the future that we'll release to you guys, how to do the Facebook Notes thing.
Sure.
But, you know, that's a great way. Do something else after you've written your post in Notepad. You know, finish reading your page, make notes, go check your email, and then reread it out loud to yourself.
Yeah, I have to say I'm a big fan of Notepad. I write all my blog posts, whatever it is, I do that in Notepad first and then transfer it later. And especially with like emails, if you're putting emails out, always, always, always send yourself a test message and read it through that, because every single time I pick up at least one thing that needs tweaking before I send it
out. Oh, and I'm terrible. I'm awful at this.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'm just going to have an army of personal assistants who I will just write everything in Notepad and they will just fix it all.
Yes.
And then send it out.
That's me at the moment.
Yes. So then you want to go through your post again and you want to take out weak words like adjectives, adverbs, unnecessary words. You want to make sure your post is as short as you can make it and still get the point across. So cutting out all the fillers.
Right.
Basically. And then graphics. You want to add a graphic, and so that will instantly boost people sharing, because people like pretty pictures.
Yeah. So where should people go to get those pictures?
We make a lot of our own in Canva. I also like pexels.com, P-E-X-E-L-S. It's this really cool free stock photo site that just seems to have a lot of really nice pictures, and they're all commons,
right?
Free to use. And I'm not quite sure how they work that, but I guess it's because they do have a link to paid too if you can't find what you're needing. But I'm really liking what I'm finding there right now.
Yeah, and the other thing is just to keep it really simple. Let the picture tell the story.
All right. So the next hint is to create and use powerful hashtags. And so, yeah, you know, I didn't know this. I thought hashtags were a Twitter thing. And when I was seeing hashtags on Facebook, I just assumed people were auto-posting.
Ah, yeah.
You know, I was like, well, whatever. But hashtags work on Facebook as well as on Twitter, and you can search them. And each hashtag has its own unique URL.
And also Google+.
And so popular hashtags can increase your Facebook post reach, but don't use more than one or two. So don't be one of those people that like writes your whole message in hashtags.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because I find that hashtag annoying.
Well, not only is it annoying, it's unnecessary, because the word itself acts as a keyword in Twitter. So you want to use it as an additional sort of categorization, if you like. And then, you know, but any search will pick up the word anyway, whether it's got a hashtag or not. So
right. So you can go, if you want to know which hashtags are currently trending, you can go to hashtags.org and you can use hashtags associated with those trends. But the thing is, you kind of want to pay attention, if you're doing this for Facebook, to what is trending on Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so here are some things that will totally, like, kill your post. And so you want to avoid them. So there are also Facebook posts that not only will get, like, ignored, it will actually hurt you and might even get you banned. and totally unfriended. And so the first is, like, people go to Facebook to escape.
Right.
So you do not want to post horribly, incredibly graphic images of torture, violence, blood. And I haven't seen a whole lot of this, but, you know, just when I do, I unfriend people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. Facebook is a happy place. Negative posts, same thing. You know, keep it sort of upbeat. Do you post content that makes people want to hide your posts? So big on this list is continual complaining, obsessive or irrelevant posts, venting. Think of it almost as going to a networking event or a cocktail party.
Mm.
You don't want to be that person who is whining with their wine.
Well, and if you have something to complain about, then do it in a funny way. Then
I mean, you can use any story, but tell it as a story and make it kind of funny.
Yeah.
Empty posts. So don't post for the sake of posting. Like, just, you know, like, too many cute kittens, too many little inspirational quotes.
You can have too many cute kittens.
Yeah. I'm allergic to cats, so it's not that I don't like them, but even, like, on Facebook, the thought of too many kittens, it just makes me sneeze.
Well, I think the big problem here is that people get advice to say, oh, you must post 4 times a day on Facebook or something like that, and therefore they think that posting any old thing will do because it's just a matter of volume, but that's going to hurt you in the end.
Right. Too many graphics at once. People will skip your posts. So don't post graphic. It needs to actually match the post. Really spammy posts. You know, if you're going to do serious promotion, take out an ad. Right. It will get you banned. I have a client who was banned. So it does happen. Facebook does really keep up on this stuff, and it takes a long time to get back.
Yeah.
So on your personal feed, so here's an example. You can say, hey, my new book, Pot Gardening, is finally out. It's all about gardening in Colorado. No, I mean, it's all about gardening in containers. It's being released on Amazon today. And then have a photograph of the book cover.
Right.
Not okay. Are you looking for a solution to bending over in the garden and wrecking your back? Naris Nemal's new book, Pot Gardening, will make you rethink your plan of retiring from the garden. Okay, so if you have to get that 50s slick announcer voice to be able to read your post, that is probably a huge hint that maybe it's a little bit too far into the spam.
Right.
On your Facebook page, you can do a product announcement if it's really highly personalized. You know, hey, we have this new product coming out. Love to know what you guys think.
I think one of those things with products, it's great to do that while you're developing the product.
Because then you can kind of get people involved.
It creates awareness of what you're doing so that when you do come out and say, hey, guys, this is finally ready.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the other thing, and this drives me crazy, actually. This is one of my pet peeves. So don't do duplicate product announcements in multiple Facebook groups. So Facebook might ban you from groups, but mostly it's just annoying because everybody belongs to the same groups that you do.
Right.
So
it ends up like 5 times.
So you end up getting in your feed, like, I had this one woman, I swear it was every single group I was in, she was in, and she posted her thing to all 17 groups. Same exact message. I'm like, So if you... I think Facebook groups are good to promote in if you're allowed to promote in the group, right?
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot of traction from that, but do it kind of over time and relevant.
Yeah.
So don't just make a promotional post. Put something useful and then just kind of talk about your thing in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So this is something that I didn't actually know until really recently, but the quickest way to get Facebook Live, which is a way of doing broadcasts on Facebook for people, which is really pretty cool. So it's like Periscope for Facebook.
Right. Yeah. I didn't know about this.
You need to verify your page. And so to do that, you go to Settings, General, Page Verification, Verify Page, and Get Started. And then you enter your phone number and they call you. And then Facebook calls you back and make sure that you answer the phone somewhat professionally when you do that.
Or do they just send you a code?
No, they call you back
to
verify your page. And then once you've done that, you are all set to use Facebook Live, which is kind of an exciting new platform for broadcasting video.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that is pretty cool. So another thing that's really cool to do is questions and polls. And so you can make the post ask a question. And so that's kind of cool because people feel like they need to answer the question. There are some tricks to creating a good poll. One is there's an app called the Opinions Poll app, and it's really easy to use, and you provide people with options, and then your post can be really cool. You want to send it to friends and fans, or you could set up a campaign, which is a paid option. And so you can also vary your post content by creating quizzes, personality tests. People love taking those tests. You know, what Harry Potter magical animal are you?
Yeah.
I'm a snort-snouted Hufflepuff. Yay!
You've done it. You know you have.
Oh, I'm like so addicted until I realize that like people keep that information. And so people, I was like, I now restrict my quizzes to things that I know that none of the information is really useful to anyone. So don't ask what's your favorite color. Like personalize it. So say, if you could be a color, which one would you be? Red, blue, green? So give choices in your posts and go ahead and ask a question. Ask a question on a hot topic. So choose a topic where opinions are already flying back and forth. Ask the question in your Facebook group as well as on your Facebook page. And so, you know, if there's something controversial going on, or if someone's doing a big launch, if you're a marketer and someone's doing a big launch around LinkedIn,
right?
You know, how useful do you find LinkedIn for your business? Or what is the most useful feature of LinkedIn for your business? Because it's already a hot topic. People are already thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then you can play into that to expand the conversation into your community too.
Yeah. And if it is a hot topic, you can guarantee that somebody has an opinion about it. And, you know, people love giving their opinions.
Right. And so then the next thing is keep it short. So this is really important. A study by Buddy Media reported that posts with 80 characters or less actually have a 27% higher engagement rate.
Yep, that makes sense.
So if you keep it short, you're getting your point across with impact. The number... Okay, and so Zappos just posted a simple thank you, but the video accompanying it aroused curiosity and promised a feel-good moment. So you can do that. You can kind of like lead people into the next thing. Word of warning, keeping it short doesn't mean that it needs to be completely cryptic. So you need to actually have enough on there that people actually know what you're saying or asking or whatever, you know, what your point is. And I am like guilty of this. I am like the queen of, oh, you didn't know what I meant? Huh. So have enough that people know what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Instead of being totally vague booking. But here's, you know, a quick example.
Yeah.
So a little reminder from Chris Brogan that customer service is marketing, and then the link. Easy.
Absolutely.
Really short and probably very shareable.
Yeah. Chris Brogan's a bit of a master at sharing sort of tweetable comments, isn't he, really?
Right. So then the next thing is to make people curious. When using calls to action, a try-to-choose strategy is there's a division between top experts and Facebook authority sites on how effective it is for Facebook. So like or share, some people say that that reduces reach, and others think that it expands the buzz. So the idea is to just test it yourself and see. You can avoid the whole issue by making people kind of curious. Give them something to click through to, and then pitch your call to action on a new page or site. So that's the whole thing with, you know, sending people to a blog post, making them curious about the blog post, and then having a more serious call to action on the next page.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the sort of whole methodology for creating blog posts that people actually read. So it's exactly the same kind of method, really.
So you can use post titles, headlines, and questions to rouse curiosity in your ideal audience and your ideal client. And do your best to allow the curiosity entertainment factor to generate spontaneous shares rather than relying solely on them sharing because you told them to share.
Yeah, it's one of those things like, you know, she took her boyfriend to the student union dance and you'll never guess what happened next. And it's almost like you can't help but click on it to find out what happened next.
Exactly. Encourage customer service posts directly on your Facebook page. So, and this is actually, you just need to make sure that you can take care of them within 24 hours and that someone is monitoring your page. But going ahead and having people do customer service on your Facebook page makes a lot of sense, because then a lot of other people might have those problems. You might engender, kind of have a discussion.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of arises out of that customer service comment. And so I think it's all good. And it also shows that as a company, you're transparent.
Yeah, and responsive. I mean, and the other thing is that, you know, for half the time, your customers will actually do your customer service for you, because they'll answer the question because they will have been through it themselves. So that's a really great way to, you know, get really good engagement.
Okay, so the next thing is something that Facebook is really paying attention to right now, which is they don't want you to link bait. And what that is that whole thing about the daughter asked this guy to a dance and he had a disfigured face and you'll never guess what happened next. And then the whole article is about skin cream.
Right.
You know, or lately there have been all these articles about this person and this person are getting a divorce. Here's why. And then it's really about like weight loss pills.
Right.
I mean, it like has nothing to do with it at all. And so Facebook is looking at how long people stay on your site after they click.
Yeah.
So if they click and it's totally wrong, then you're going to go down in the newsfeed.
Yeah, I think that applies right across the board for anything that you're doing. If you're basically using that kind of tactic to get people's attention, you're basically spamming them.
Right. And then the other thing is that Facebook is really looking at if people are sharing it too. Mm-hmm. So you go into the page and then they want that link to be shared or discussed or commented after the fact. Okay. So for posts that are just text, Facebook wants the link above any accompanying photographs rather than making the photo itself the link. So the last update, it said, we prioritize showing links in link format and show fewer links shared in captions or status updates. So basically, paste the link while you're drafting your post. There you go.
Yep.
Easy. And so go ahead and put the link in text format, but then also share it as a photo.
Yes.
And so that will help with Facebook. You also want to change your post media based on your story type and audience. So you want to mix the media. You want some video, you want some pictures, you want some text, but you also want to make sure that it's the right thing. So if you're telling people how to use software, usually video is the best thing for that.
And just a quick note about the video is you'll get a lot more traction for it if you upload the video to Facebook than if you actually just post a YouTube link.
If you're a writer, you want to make sure that a good portion of your texts are text posts. Yeah, you can use graphics, but don't make the graphic better than what you're writing, because that defeats the purpose of showing off your writing skills on Facebook.
Sure.
If your audience are fans of your podcasts, share links to audio files and make sure that the cover photo includes a sign-up tab so that people can sign up for your podcast and not miss any episodes. When telling your story, use well-known storytelling principle of show, don't tell. This isn't as rigid of a guideline as use a photo. What it really means is engage your viewers' emotions. Put them in the saddle, let them feel the wind, taste the rain, smell the forest. You can decide what medium will accomplish that the best for each different kind of post. All right, so you want to include anticipation. So because in the end, computing and digital communication, they're always sort of, you're talking about the future. So things change when you're getting used to new changes. Checking out sites like Facebook's newsroom will give you big clues what's coming up next for Facebook. So Facebook is already using artificial intelligence to help with areas like accessibility and mobile usage. They're paying more attention to mobile profiles and developing such features as a video profile photo. And Facebook's primary focus in post monitoring is that posts get shared. Yet they don't want you to ask for a share. They want it to be viral and organic. So if you can figure out that trick, which is what we're teaching in this teleseminar, you'll go a long way toward.
That's right. But if you know, at least if you know what's coming up, you can prepare the right kind of content to take advantage of that. And especially if you do it quickly when they introduce these things, you'll get a lot more traction because Facebook is really interested in making those features work. So if you get onto it quickly, then you get a lot more bang for your buck.
Right. And so then the next hint is don't shorten your links on Facebook. And I know people like to do that because if you use a Bitly link, then it tracks.
That's right.
And so it's a little tricky, you know. I guess what I would suggest is that you go ahead and use the Google UTM links instead to, if it's really important that you're tracking your Facebook links forward. But if you shorten your links, your engagement could be 3 times less.
Yeah, and that's so that's really down to what's the most important. Yeah.
Pay attention to the right time to post. So most of us do Facebook posting during business hours, but Buddy Media notes there's a 20% more engagement when posts are created after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But you can schedule. So this works out.
Yeah.
The best time to post is when your particular audience is online. So if you're dealing with new mothers, you may want to be scheduling posts at 2, 3 in the morning when they're awake with their child.
Trying to find something to do.
And then you also have to figure out where your audience lives. You know, is it in a different time zone? Are they all on the other side of the world? Are they people who only post from work or only post from home? Are your posts retail based? You know, all of these different things may affect the best time for you to post. And so if you use something like Buffer, it will kind of keep track.
Yep.
Of when people are paying the most attention to the things that you're posting.
And it's the same with anything in marketing. It's all about knowing your audience.
So you just want to be aware. You know, check your post overviews and Facebook insights. Look through the previous day's posts every day and see where you have the highest engagement. And if you do that consistently for a couple of days, you'll really get a good feel for what your fans are up to. And then you want to make sure that your Facebook page is optimized for mobile. So get on your phone, check out your Facebook page on your phone. This is what a lot of people are actually seeing because most people do Facebook on their phone. How are your competitors' feeds different from yours? Are you seeing things on other people's pages that you really like that you would really like to incorporate into your feed. So here are some ideas to help optimize your page for mobile. First of all, you can drag photos and reposition them while telling a story with more than one photo, even if you're using mobile. So you can have, you know, multiple pictures sort of creating a scene. Keep your mobile targeted photos to a dimension of 560 by 292. So it's not very big. The maximum number of characters ideally seen on a mobile screen without scrolling is 120 to 150 characters.
So
think
Twitter,
tweets.
Yeah,
and the first line is the most engaging, most important, and be aware that the number of characters allowed seen in mobile offers is the same as the PC screen, but it's only 25 to 90 characters,
right.
So it's still pretty short. Know about Facebook images. So you can increase your reach and engagement by knowing everything there is to know about what works best when posting images to Facebook. You need to figure out the optimum sizes for the different kinds of Facebook images. There's a great guide. If you Google John Loomer and Facebook image dimensions, you'll get all the different scales.
Yeah.
Right there. Keep personal photos for your feed and relevant high quality ones for your page. So really, you know, your daughter's selling Girl Scout cookies, that might be better on your personal page instead of on your business page. And you want your pictures on your page to look really sharp and well branded. Create a catchy headline for your title, for your photo, and that's going to be the hook. So you really want, you know, it's like, what is this picture? Create an image folder before posting to Facebook. Always be on the lookout for top quality professional photos that fit your business topic and signature theme. Pick them before you need them, because then you're not searching all over the web looking for good pictures. And rename the photos with the relevant keywords. This will save you a lot of time. And it does, because, you know, you look at images and you get them from these sites, and it's like image one, image two, image three, image.
Yes.
You don't know what they are.
Yeah.
You know, so if you find them and you like them and you name them the right thing, then when you're going through and actually using the images on the site, that's going to save you a ton of time. And only use reputable stock photo sites, the free or the paid, and make sure that the licensing is right. You know, can you use this commercially? If the person's face is featured, do they have a model release? You don't want to publish images that you do not have the right to use.
Yeah,
you will get in huge trouble.
Yeah.
It will cost you a lot of money. So just don't do it.
And that's one of the reasons, like, we like using Canva, because you may have to pay, you know, a dollar if you use one of their paid images. I mean, that's how they make their money on their site. But at least then you'll have, you know, an image that you know is you have the rights to use, you know, and it'll be good quality. You know, you can add captions to it and everything else. So Canva's a really probably a good little tool to create custom images for your posts.
And then know your audience. So not only sort of seeing what posts they pay attention to, but really focusing on who it is you're writing to.
Yeah.
And having that ideal client or customer in your mind when you're writing the posts.
And a really great way to do this is to actually go onto a competitor site like we were talking about before. And then if they're the same audience, see which posts that audience likes on your competitor's site and then copy those type of posts.
Right, right. One of the things that I really like is creating a Facebook group, like a closed group. Even if you just have a small number of clients, it's cool because people engage in that, like more than forums, more than anything else. People will go play in the different Facebook groups. And it's really easy to kind of, you can either have a small closed one just for your clients as a client benefit, and so you're getting to know your community and build your community more, or you can do a group that can grow bigger, and it's fairly easy to get hundreds of people in the group, and you're the leader. So you're automatically in a position of authority. So if you really run your Facebook group well, you'll get more honest reactions to posts. You'll get more complaints, but you want the complaints because then people are really telling you what they want and what you can do better. They'll give you more focused questions. The groups are an amazing place to go for focus groups and feedback. You'll get better responses. And, you know, it's a way of building your community online, and Facebook makes it really easy. And it's a great way to build trust.
Yeah.
Within your group. Now, this is probably not going to grow your Facebook presence hugely, but it will grow your community exponentially. And so that is our 70,000 tips for getting more out of Facebook. And only one of them was by ads, so I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And so if you want more tips like this, we have Solo Biz Hackers. .com, and basically it's only $7 a month. You get a webinar like this, which you'll agree was chock full of information. And then you also get the other 3 weeks of the month, you get a 3 to 5 page PDF newsletter on how to do one specific thing. And so those things, little tips and tricks and things that will help you improve your business. Our members have said that, any one of the tips is worth at least 10 times $7 a month. So there you go. It's a really good deal.
It is indeed. And that's the thing is there are so many things out there that, you know, that you get overwhelmed by, by how many tools there are, how many bits of advice there are. And this will help you cut through all that. And so you can, you know, it allows you to navigate the sort of internet marketing minefield.
Right. So if you're interested in that, go to solobizhacker.com.
Correct.
See you guys next time.